Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Heavy rains that have left parts of California dealing with floods and mudslides are blamed for at least 17 deaths. Even when the rain stops, crews are still dealing with the mess. KCBS's Rena Nakano reports from Ventura.
Two cyclists say a firefighter gave them a ride down Casitas Vista Road on their way to get groceries.
We were just about to cross through, and he asked if we were going to bear it, and he said if we wanted to ride. So it's pretty nice of them.
And on the 101, hundreds of cars were stranded on the side of the road while Caltrans crews cleared the mud and water from the Ventura River, inundating the freeway. Many were waiting overnight.
President Biden says he was surprised when told that government records were found at a former office space in Washington. More from CBS's Adriana Diaz.
A source tells CBS News the documents, which were found inside a box in a locked closet, had multiple levels of classification and included highly classified material. Today, the Republican-led House Oversight Committee announced it's launching an investigation and asked the White House for all documents retrieved from President Biden's personal office and a list of who had access to that office.
It appears nurses at two of New York City's largest hospitals will remain on the picket line for a third day. CBS's Meg Oliver says the main issue is safe staffing levels.
The strike comes during a historic staffing shortage nationwide of nearly 250,000 registered nurses. In places like Florida, they need 24,000 RNs. In New York, about 13,000. And in California, that number jumps to 65,000.
Our Jim Krasula reports that eating fast food has been linked to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, a potentially life-threatening condition in which fat builds up in the liver.
Researchers at the University of Southern California found that people with obesity or diabetes who consume at least 20% of their daily calories from fast food have much higher levels of fat in their liver compared to those who eat less or no fast food at all.
CBS News travel editor Peter Greenberg has calculated the reimbursement cost for Southwest customers caught in the airline's holiday meltdown. Things like meals or alternate forms of transportation back home.
For many passengers, that's going to average about $400 per passenger. Multiply that by the 1 million passengers who are disenfranchised, and that alone could cost Southwest Airlines about $400 million.
At the Golden Globes, Michelle Yeoh wins for actress in a musical or comedy film for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Colin Farrell has won for Best Actor in Musical Comedy for The Banshees of Inisherin. And Austin Butler takes home a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Drama for his lead role in Elvis. The Mega Millions jackpot swells to $1.1 billion. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey, sis, missed you this morning. Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Oh, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats, okay?
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Should we trademark BCCCs? Should that be our first As Goes Wisconsin merch?
I like that.
Put it on a t-shirt?
Because it stands for, of course, Bad Carton of Cottage Cheese. None of those BCCCs would have stepped down from these boards if they had not been ordered to do so from someone higher up.
How long does a carton of cheese last for?
Probably 2 weeks.
I feel like it lasts longer than like a carton of milk.
Cottage cheese, that'll start molding.
Okay.
Certainly, it takes less than a year.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of sunny Waukesha.
Is it not just gorgeous?
Holy moly.
Yeah.
It is 46 degrees outside.
It feels like March.
January 10th.
Yeah.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it.
Yeah.
I hope it's warm where you are. I have not checked the statewide weather forecast, but this, after such a cold holiday, feels pretty nice.
Sure does.
But how was your birthday, Jane Mettner?
It was very nice. I had lots of texts and phone calls, and I got roses from my husband, and so it was lovely.
It was lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
I will say, if you are interested, we did make a video on As Goes Wisconsin social medias celebrating Jane's birthday. There may or may not be purple flames included. So I encourage you to check out As Goes Wisconsin on either Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. It's all over the place to see Jane dancing, because she is an icon, a legend, and she is the moment.
Oh, that is that is so nice of you. And you gave me prezzies, and you gave me a damn it doll.
I know. I felt like this, maybe you need it less than in the past, but I still think you probably have reasons to use the damn it doll to hit it across some things every once in a while.
Absolutely. It's going to be really useful as we head into yet another election season.
Yet another election season. And what an important one that is. We are going to take a deeper dive into the forum that was put on by WisPolitics yesterday. That was the first time all four candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court sat down together and answered questions about pressing issues. And, you know, I would say the three top issues that come to mind that the Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court, will be tasked with making decisions on, they were asked, well, indirectly or directly asked about. One was recusal, because in the sense of the millions of dollars that will be spent to get any of these people elected, the likelihood that one of those donors, maybe a lobbying group, maybe a company, could end up in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is high.
And seems like a conflict of interest.
And it's up right now to the individual justice to recuse themselves. There is no standard criteria for recusal. It's up to them to be honest and frank and have integrity. So that they were asked about that. They were also asked about redistricting. And indirectly, they were asked about abortion, or abortion came up in that they were asked, what is the worst Supreme Court ruling, U.S. Supreme Court ruling, in your opinion? And they had some answers on that. But we are not going to get to that until the top of the noon hour. But we are going to go over, well, we were, I think, on air while it was happening. So I went back and read all the great coverage from WisPolitics and Journal Sentinel and WPR, and our friend Dan Schaefer was there.
Yep.
So tried to consolidate my understanding of what those answers were. But I think a bigger question that I would love to hear your response to in the noon hour, do you already know who you're going to vote for on February 21st, which is when the primary is?
Right.
And if not, what more information do you need? 844-967-2789. We will have that discussion at the noon, top of the noon hour. But this hour, we got some headlines. So Wisconsin gets its own James Bond.
I know.
There's some news both in the Wisconsin Technical College system and in the UW system on recruitment, attendance, who's going where. And do you wish you could be an Oscar Mayer wiener? Because now you might be able to.
Who doesn't?
But to start off, I have to be honest, the breaking news yesterday afternoon was, a part of me was like, am I a hypocrite? Because I try to be aware of my biases when it comes to the news. I know where I usually, my gut instinct usually tells me about how I feel about something, but that doesn't mean I have all the information. Doesn't mean that I have my own subjective excuses of why I don't think it's a big deal. But obviously people who disagree with me have very strong feelings about this, but I decided to give this person a pseudonym. So I've mentioned a couple times, I have a much more conservative friend who I grew up with, doesn't live here anymore, but loves to poke the bear being me, as far as just wanting to engage on stuff. And so he sent me yesterday, this was the first I saw it before I had actually read the news, but he sent me a text yesterday, or a tweet yesterday, laughing about the fact, or making a joke about the fact that, lo and behold, when he was vice president, President Biden had taken some classified documents, and they were left at the Penn Biden think tank at UPenn. It was at UPenn or Penn State?
Well, it was some office.
So an office. It was an office at the think tank. And they were left there and only found right before the November election, in which his lawyers immediately
contacted the right people.
And I guess the right people were like, I don't know, we're not missing anything, and that they weren't even fully aware that there was anything missing. But this obviously now goes to the comparison of the documents at Mar-a-Lago and the raiding that happened. And my gut instinct when I saw this and then I read more about it is, can you really compare the two? And I needed to read more, and I still stand by, now that I have more information, it's not a good look.
No, it's not.
It's definitely not a good look, and the FBI is involved. They didn't raid anything, but they are involved. But also, if you get into the details, it is different. But well, I want to acknowledge that my gut instinct was to be like, this is ridiculous. But I also think... We do have to look into it. It sounds like it was an oversight and something that was forgotten. They have not said what it is. I think we've heard, the number I've heard is it's about 10 documents instead of 300. But so we'll go into more of the details. But I guess it's one of those things where, is it right to have that gut instinct, or is it like, oh no, this is a blind spot for you to be like, well, it's just your reaction to be like, are you really comparing the two? Like, the two are different. Like, he stole them. He changed his story. He being Donald Trump, he stole them. He was not in office anymore. There was like 300 of them. He's changed his stories multiple times, including, oh, well, when you're president, you can just declassify something by thinking about it versus the protocols. While it was an oversight and it's not a good look, there were protocols that are now being followed as far as we found these. How do we get them back to the right place? But I still just think that this is part of the implicit bias that we have with our political leanings.
Well,
is to either attack. I think if you are a right-leaning Trump fan, this becomes a huge target to be for whataboutism. And if you are a left-leaning Democrat, finding the reasons why this is not as big of a deal as the Mar-a-Lago thing was, is your de facto position.
Well, you don't even have to be a Democrat, because Karl Rove, of all people, longtime staunch Republican, yes, was on Fox News talking about this very thing and says, quote, how many documents in Biden's case? There appear to be about 10 in the case of former President Trump. Hundreds. How did they get there? We don't know how the documents got to the Biden office. We know that President Trump ordered the removal of documents to Mar-a-Lago. When the Biden people found out about it, they called the appropriate authorities immediately. We spent a year and a half watching drama unfold in Mar-a-Lago, which ultimately ended in a police search to recover the documents. So, yes, it's going to create headaches for the Department of Justice. Again, this is according to Karl Rove, in deciding how to handle the former president's issues, because now they have an issue in the minds of some ordinary Americans are going to be conflated as being roughly the same. But Rove still says they did the smart thing in turning this over to an attorney in Chicago who was Trump appointed to investigate this.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a bad look, but it's not apples to apples.
It's not. Yes. Yes. I'm saying that is obviously, that's also my gut instinct of how to see this.
Right.
And not that you should not talk about it. That they're not, there shouldn't be, there should be an investigation. There should be, how did these get here? What were they? Were they just forgotten? Blah, 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 blah. It's also funny to me that it sounds like they didn't even know that they were missing.
That raises eyebrows.
Because if you think about it, it was basically taken because they've been missing then for a while. Because he used the D.C., it's called the Penn Biden Center, which is a D.C. think tank that Biden used as an office space between 2017 and 2019. So if they were left there in 2019 at the latest.
And nobody missed them.
So it's like, what's in these documents that everyone like just forgot that they're hearing? So they were in a locked closet and no one missed them at all. So let me know, what was your gut instinct when you first heard this news? Or if you're just hearing it now, what is your gut instinct now? Do you see yourself as having a bias in your opinion about this, or knowing the facts, or you feel vindicated that your initial reaction is objective? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We will be right back.
Sorry, I'm sorry, sorry. Psych. Why the?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with "The Bears Still Suck" as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. It's not-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 31.
Overnight, under cloudy skies,
southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour.
Chance of flurries tomorrow.
High temperatures reach up to 44.
Overcast.
Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow night.
Lows around 32.
Cloudy skies expected.
A dusting of snow Thursday through Thursday night.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We have been talking about the breaking news that happened yesterday afternoon about some documents, some classified documents that were found right before the midterm elections in Biden's temporary office space that he was using at the Biden, the Penn Biden Center, which is a DC think tank. And not shockingly, conservatives are using this to ring the alarm and drawing parallels to the investigation into former President Trump, where they found 300 classified docs at his Mar-a-Lago home in Florida versus these being 10 that were in a locked closet at a think tank. And go ahead.
And we know that Donald Trump ordered that these documents be removed. We don't know that then Vice President Biden ordered those documents to be stored there.
So the Justice Department has appointed a U.S. attorney to review the docs and find out how they ended up at this Penn Biden Center. And then once there's information about that, it's up to Attorney General Merrick Garland to decide whether there needs to be an investigation or whether special counsel is necessary. But if anything, this gives the new House more fodder to jump into whatever investigations they want to do. So it's unclear what kind of information is in those classified documents yet, but certainly this goes back to McCarthy, and who said this latest discovery proves that Democrats were playing games with Trump. And
no,
I know. I'm just saying what McCarthy said.
I know.
But it adds to fodder to the priorities of the new House with McCarthy at the head, vowing that they're going to investigate Biden and his family's business dealings. And so this will be included in that. And speaking of the House, they actually got something done in less than 15 votes yesterday.
Oh, come on.
He made it through his first test in his hard-won speakership when, Kevin McCarthy, when the House passed the rules of which it will operate under during this term, as well as rescinding the new funding for the IRS that is unlikely to go anywhere, but as far as them making it clear that they do not want more funding for the IRS as so many of them ran on, that these scary IRS agents are coming to get you. And the thing that I understand where the money, the funding, this is part of the Inflation Reduction Act. I don't know what about this is reduces inflation, but whatever, is more funding for the IRS. Because what I understand, and I've felt this firsthand, is the chronic underfunding of the IRS has meant that it takes a long time for some people, if there's any complications in your taxes, to get your tax return. And we ran into this in trying to buy a house this summer.
Oh.
Because my husband, entrepreneur, owns multiple businesses. One of which he has like a minority stake in this company that's like a, you know, it's a really small company. But that person who ran that company was late filing their taxes. And by the time they did, it changed Mike's taxes. And so fast forward to, even though his were in, fast forward to July or end of June, early July, we're trying to buy this house. And obviously when you are trying to buy a house, all of your tax information and all of this stuff needs to be included. And he needed an updated
form
yeah. of some sort. And because the backlog is so long for the IRS, it was threatening our ability to get approved for our loan for the house. And it was a whole thing of like, we were like basically pitting mortgage agents against each other to see who could get it done fast and who could get it done without this form. And if not needing a, not a co-sponsor.
Co-signer.
Thank you. And all this stuff. And, you know, so what I understood this IRS funding to be is to actually help people get their money faster in when they are working with the IRS. Now, the slant has been it's funding 80,000 new agents to come audit you, which I always think is like, if you don't cheat your taxes, then you're not going to get audited, which I know is not entirely true as far as people, when you get divorced, I think the flag of you getting audited is higher. And like,
if you have a home business, there are other things.
And there's more things. And actually, I remember this from PolitiFact last year. I think Ron Johnson had made a claim that more middle class and lower class economic ranges get audited than really rich people.
Because their filings are so much less complicated.
That, and there's also a lot more people who are in the middle class and lower class than there are millionaires. So just like the actual numbers of people, I would say are in, like, it's just the how statistics and percentages work when there's a higher amount of people that could be audited in one pile versus the other pile. The proportion is a lot, right? And so, but anyway, so they did vote to rescind that funding. It doesn't really matter because that's not going to change in the Senate and Biden's not going to sign it. But as far as just an indicator of where, what their priorities are. But this is my favorite quote from McCarthy yesterday. He said, "The government should be here to help you, not go after you," which I agree with, but the idea that the Republicans now are like, oh, the government's here to help you, when so much of their rhetoric is about mitigating handouts to the people who don't deserve it, is laughable.
I don't understand why the Democrats haven't just come out and said the Republicans are in favor of tax cheats. Because they are.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, more headlines, including the ozone growing back? What? All right, stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. All I need is the air that I
breathe and to love you. WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. California is soaked and at least 17 people have died in storms. Julie Hagan with Santa Barbara County Public Works says they need federal help to clear debris basins.
We need to clear about 500,000 cubic yards of material in a matter of weeks. So once we get them out here, we're going to be asking them to work 24/7 until we get the basins cleared.
President Biden says he's surprised about the discovery of some documents marked classified in an old office dating back to his years as vice president. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says
he was very critical of President Trump. By the way, the only person that has the constitutional ability to declassify any documents is the president of the United States, not the vice president.
Thousands of nurses are walking the picket lines outside two major hospitals in New York City. WCBS reporter Sean Adams.
Administrators are now pitching in to care for patients. Ambulances are being diverted. Mount Sinai says with COVID, flu, and RSV still surging, this strike is reckless.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder, if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Probably there's other ones that I'm forgetting. But and you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Some good news for Earthlings, and I think some hopeful news. The ozone layer is set to be fully restored over most of the world within the next two decades.
Okay.
Do you look confused.
Well, I'm just wondering how, on the one hand, we have our glaciers melting all over the place and sea level rise and fires and floods and rains and storms and hurricanes and all. And, but the ozone's fine. Ozone's getting better.
I don't know the difference, really, of why one is, why the ozone can heal itself.
Right.
And yet everything else seems to be getting worse. But trends indicate a full ozone layer recovery by 2040 will take place across the planet, excluding the poles. But the ozone is expected to bounce back to pre-1980, pre-crisis levels over the Arctic by 2045 and over the Antarctic by 2066. And so basically a reminder that the ozone layer is a thin part of the Earth's stratosphere, and it's about 9 to 18 miles above the surface. And the layer shields the Earth from, like, ultraviolet rays linked to cancer and crop damage. And so I think that might be different than the, how the gases are getting trapped inside.
You're probably right.
But the loss of the ozone layer was one of the most feared environmental issues through most of the 80s and 90s. And but basically, besides a few hiccups, including the 2018 discovery that factories in China were emitting large amounts of banned chemicals, the report, this is a UN report that came out, found that the primary ozone depleting gases in the stratosphere declined from their peaks. So it's chlorine decreased from 11.5 from its peak in 1983. Bromine decreased 14.5% from its peak in 1999. And it seems like there's hope. If we can do this, maybe we can do other hard things when it comes to climate change.
What do they attribute this?
Banned a bunch of chemicals. Aerosols and all the things they were saying was depleting the ozone. Like, I feel like a lot of that stuff was like, we can't use these anymore.
Okay. So we did actually put things into action in order to affect this. That's good.
That's what I understand.
Good.
It was, it was found in like air conditioners, refrigerators, deodorants, which I don't know if they just changed the technology for air conditioners and refrigerators. Because we obviously still have both of those.
Right.
And maybe people were using less hairspray.
Well, just certainly less aerosol hairspray. And I was just thinking about deodorant. Everything is a stick now. Right?
Yeah. You can still
get aerosols.
Some spray deodorants. Like Dove, I know for sure, has a spray deodorant. But I don't know. I would have to talk to a chemist to see. What were some of the fundamental changes? Because we obviously have more people, but I don't know. It just that was in all of my top news like roundups today was the ozone. So all right.
Here's on my list: find Take a chemist.
A win is a win.
Yeah, definitely.
Like to say. I don't have much to say beyond the fact that I just like this guy's name. But yesterday, Bond, James Bond, the first openly gay cabinet secretary, is heading to Veteran Affairs. So yesterday, Wisconsin, Tony Evers, on Monday, appointed James Bond to serve as Secretary of State, Department of Veteran Affairs, and it makes him the first openly gay cabinet secretary in the state's history. And his name's James Bond. I just thought that was kind of cool.
I just think, parents, think before you name.
Because he looks young enough that certainly we'd been through a couple James Bonds, I think, by the time this guy was born. And, you know, your last name is your last name, but you could go by Jimmy. Jimmy Bond. Jimbo.
I call him Bob. I don't know, Bob Bond. Just be careful when you name your children. That's all I'm saying.
So then some other news that I thought was interesting. One I saw on last week, which was Morna Foy, president of the Wisconsin Technical College System, we interviewed right before Christmas, which was great to talk to her. Mm-hmm. As far as their recruitment levels are up, how much they've changed, how much they've made their curriculum and more flexible in trying to meet students where they are.
Changing the focus,
you know, so much of the technical college system is, you know, internships and apprenticeships and job applications and but also knowing how many of their students are working and going to school. And so having daycare, having just meeting students where they are instead of like asking students to adhere to whatever their schedule and standards are. And so this I thought was really great news in that same demographic that makes up so much of the Wisconsin Technical College system students. Milwaukee Tech College, so this is MATC in Milwaukee because there's also an MATC in Madison, offers first ever full ride scholarship for low-income students.
That's great.
So for the first time ever, Milwaukee Area Technical College is offering students from low-income homes the chance to attend the school for free. So it comes from a $5 million pledge from Milwaukee businessman Joe Chakota. Does that name sound familiar to you? And his wife, Ellen.
Done, Joe and Ellen.
Yeah, they have the Ellen and Joe Chakota Scholarship Program at MATC. So they're offering a 2-to-1 match for additional donations for the effort. And MATC said they're hoping to raise a total of $7.5 million to be able to give out in scholarships. And so current students and those enrolled for the spring semester that have at least a 2.0 GPA and who live in a household earning below the federal poverty guidelines have until the end of Friday to apply for the scholarship funding.
Wow, take advantage of that.
So I'm hoping this was not last Friday. Because if it is, I should have talked about this sooner. But we'll link this to today's blog post, be able to see if you can still apply, and if there's anyone you know, or maybe you yourself, who could benefit from this free scholarship. Because
you can go to culinary school or get into the trades, or there's all kinds of things.
Absolutely. And then on the other college system in Wisconsin, I'm trying to decide how I feel if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Because yesterday when we talked to Senator Melissa Agard, she referenced that her oldest son has moved to Brooklyn and in the attempt to get our own young people to stay in Wisconsin. And what does that look like? Because out-of-state enrollments have surged at the UW system schools while resident enrollments have fallen. So what does that mean? So over the past decade, non-resident freshmen, so this is people who did not grow up in Wisconsin, or at least by the time that they're applying for college, they are applying and will have to pay out-of-state tuition.
Which is four times higher.
Which is a lot higher.
Much more expensive than state students.
And that grew by 63% over the last decade.
Isn't that something?
Now, that's still the minority of the students who make up the UW system. So in 2022, non-residents are 6,243 students versus residents are still 18,447. This is incoming freshmen.
Sure.
But 10 years ago, that was 3,097 students for a non-resident. Meanwhile, 10 years ago for residents, it was 23,000 freshmen that were residents, and that's dropped to about 18,500. And this largely happened, and this happens at a lot of public schools, especially major public universities that are academically competitive. You know, I think UW-Madison is consistently top 20 public school, maybe even top 10 public university in the country. Mm-hmm. It's like the competition with like Michigan, UCLA, Berkeley, North Carolina, Virginia, UT Austin. I'm trying to think of the other like...
that are comparable?
Like the public universities that, you know, because of their academic prowess, have a reputation that attracts... because I remember when I first got to LA... this was back in 2003, and I finished my senior year of high school at Santa Monica High School. And I remember meeting my peers who were also seniors, who were very good students, but who were looking at Madison as an option. And I think some of them went. And there is a fair amount of coasties who end up at Madison. But I remember them asking me about Wisconsin. They're like, oh, I'm going to go do my like trip there and blah, blah, blah. I was like, are you going to go in the winter to like just check it out? Because it's really different there than it is in Santa Monica, as I talked to you in shorts in November.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about.
Go in June.
But it's the thing. It's like usually during summer break, That's when you can go check out campuses. And Madison in the summer is wonderful. You got to go to the terrace. You got rolling hills. You got three lakes. Yep. Like, it's beautiful. And then you forget, if you're from California, you don't actually know what winter is like.
You have no idea what's coming, my friend.
But I thought it was interesting because the UW system spokesperson, Mark Pitch, I think that's how you pronounce it, said they see it as a good thing because an opportunity of attracting out-of-state students in the potential that they may stay and work in Wisconsin and stay in Wisconsin. And so I'd like to see if there's any kind of tracking of that for the out-of-state students who come, how many end up staying in Wisconsin and working in Wisconsin, and how many come here and then go back home or come here and move to a major city. And I just think it's interesting as far as, because I think the reason why a huge catalyst for this was because of the tuition freeze for residents and in the attempt to have enough money, they uncapped how many out-of-state students they admitted.
Okay.
Right. And so for a long time, and again, I think this was the same thing at a lot of these very high prowess,
high profile
universities that they always capped, because obviously the money that goes into the tax dollars that go into funding the public's universities, there should be enough spots saved for students of families who paid in to pay for those schools. But as there becomes a funding freeze or a tuition freeze, obviously they need to make it up some way, somehow. But if you open the pool up to uncapped amount of people who can come to Madison or also at some of the other UW system schools, it makes it more competitive for the people who actually live here. And Madison's hard to get into.
It is.
Madison was hard to get into even when I was in high school.
Madison was hard to get into when I was in high school.
And so I think there's a question of, in the attempt to try to get our own residents to stay and the people who grew up here and have them benefit from the school, is this push and pull, because it's all chicken or the egg, of having no cap on how many out-of-state residents can come because they need more money, is that a good thing for people who actually live here?
But if our kids aren't electing to stay in Wisconsin to go to these universities, that's the question. Why are they going elsewhere?
Well,
and it's because it has to be more expensive to attend school out-of-state.
Are they going elsewhere, or are they just not going at all?
Ah.
Because enrollment in general is down.
Is down.
So probably a lot more to dig into here and the different numbers and the reason behind the reason. But it just caught my eye as far as, is this a good thing? I kind of see both sides as far as it's good to get more people here, but it's also to the detriment of kids who would really like to go to UW-Madison, but maybe are competing with a bigger pool than they can. All right, when we come back, some news on the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Didn't work.
text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a low of 31. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles an hour. A few flurries possible at times. Tomorrow, highs around 44, cloudy. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 32, cloudy skies. A dusting of snow Thursday through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener.
Oh, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I remember that song. Have you ever been in a wienermobile?
No, I have not.
I don't think I've been inside one. I've definitely seen them at events and everything, but I haven't seen one in a while, if I'm being honest. I don't know the last time I saw one just out and about.
Well, they probably were taken off the road during COVID, so it's probably been a couple years since the Wienermobile has been free to travel the country.
I actually don't know if that's true. I feel like I vaguely remember interviewing a potential As Goes Wisconsin intern who heard Josh, she had just gotten off of her rotation as the, like, Wienermobile girl. I swear to God. And this was in 2020, because I remember I talked to her in 2020. So maybe she had done it in 2019, and that's why she was looking for a new job. So they may have taken it off. But I do remember talking to someone who had this job. But if you would like to have this job, Oscar Mayer is now recruiting the next class of drivers for its iconic Wienermobile.
It could be you.
It could be you. Hate your job? Want to try something else? This might be just what you're looking for. So they are searching for outgoing, creative, friendly, enthusiastic, graduating college seniors.
Oh.
So that takes that takes you and I out.
Well, yeah.
Better keep our day jobs.
Rats.
Who have an appetite for adventure. To be the next, this is what they're called, hot doggers.
Oh,
not only do hot doggers get to drive the Wienermobile through 20 states.
You mean there's more?
They also get to serve as an Oscar Mayer spokesperson at more than 200 events during the year.
Quite seriously, though, if you're a communications major or you want to go into public relations or something like that, what a great background.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this girl that I interviewed was dynamic. She loved it. She actually had a great experience because you're also documenting. If you like social media, mm-hmm. and you're trying to learn about social media, they also have these people, the hot doggers, document all their journeys across the different social media channels.
Sure.
And so you can apply if this sounds like you. Or some young people, some newly graduated graduating folks that you think might like this job. Maybe they feel a little lost. They don't have the next thing lined up, but they like talking to people and they could drive a big wiener.
And there aren't a lot of jobs that call for that as a qualification.
Well, there's some, but I'm sure they're all
that are legal. A little less mainstream, perhaps.
And so you can apply online. Before January 31st.
Don't wait
until the rest of the month. And we'll put the online application on today's blog post. But I just this was such a Wisconsin thing for so long. My dad interned. This is a great story about Oscar Mayer. My dad interned at Oscar Mayer. I think it was while he was in business school. And I think he then did not eat hot dogs for 20 years.
Oh, I believe it.
After he literally saw how the sausage is made, he's like, yeah, I'm good.
But that's like so many things. One of my sisters worked in a bakery for a grocery store chain, and she, to this day, and that was 55 years ago, She doesn't touch bakery because she just overdid it so much.
Oh, not because there was something salacious in how like croissants are made.
No,
there's not like a secret ingredient.
It's like a
human body.
The dark story of croissants.
Because that was his thing. It was like,
ew.
Oh, the parts that go into a hot dog. That he was like, yeah, I don't.
I'd rather not.
I don't need to eat those. There's other things I can eat. But we actually right now have. This was right before Christmas. We went to the piano bar thing at Walker's Pint. Fun fact about Walker's Pint in Walker's Point, one of the last 24 lesbian bars in the entire country.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a whole different story, though. I'm just giving background for the story. And part of the piano bar night at Walker's Pint was a meat raffle. And I feel like a classic Wisconsin meat raffle, you buy your raffle tickets, and if you win anything, you get like one piece of meat. You get like pheasant, or you get one thing. Well, Betsy, the owner of Walker's Pint, basically just went to like the sale line of the meat pile.
Okay.
And just if you any round, and there was multiple rounds, if you won a round, you get like two full grocery bags of meat.
Wow.
So the amount of processed food, like we have like bologna and hot dogs and salami and all of this like preserved meat that I have no interest in eating in our stocked up in our fridge right now. And I actually, we might not have hot dogs because I do eat a hot dog.
Bologna?
Are you a hot dog fan?
I am a hot dog fan.
You don't care. You have no interest in knowing what's in it.
I know pretty much of some of the things that are in it, and I prefer not to think about that.
Got it.
But I also, every once in a while, I love a bologna sandwich. Not maybe once a year.
I don't even know the last time I had a bologna sandwich. I don't even know the last time I had bologna.
But it's got to be on
what
white,
do you put on it?
It's got to be on white bread.
Okay.
With a piece of American cheese.
Like, are we talking about like Kraft Singles?
Yes.
Which is not actual cheese. You know
cheese,
that, right?
Cheese food.
It's cheese product.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's make it completely all preservatives of nothing natural. Put it on Wonder Bread and a little mayonnaise or butter and you are set, man, a piece of lettuce.
I was going to say, that's where the healthy have a piece of lettuce, that's, like iceberg lettuce on there?
Yes, iceberg lettuce, maybe a slice of onion, and you're in heaven.
Oh, well, if you are interested in driving a wiener on wheels, applications are open. I highly suggest it. From the one woman that I talked to who's done this before, who loved it, though she may have just been saying that because it was a job interview and she's trying to be positive. But you can apply online before January 31st. And I think this sounds like a really fun job to do right out of college. If you don't have anything else lined up.
I think so, too.
It's a full-time paid one-year assignment. What a fun, random way. And the stories you'd probably collect by doing this as a 22-year-old.
You get to travel all over the state.
No, all over the country.
All over the country.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's a huge opportunity. It really is.
So we will link that. It's also just a fun story to talk about because I would love to have been in the original pitch meeting of, all right, stay with me. I have this idea. It's called the Wienermobile. It's gonna be a giant penis that just drives around.
Excuse me,
but it
Ralph.
Looks like a hot dog.
I have questions.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, we're going to break down what happened at the Supreme Court forum yesterday, which was the first time all four candidates sat down and answered questions. We'll also talk a little bit more about, the importance of this election, because I have this feeling that what I'm really concerned about is that those of us who follow politics understand how important this election is, but that the numbers that are going to end up showing up in February, most likely because primaries always have pretty low turnout, but especially in the general in April, that the numbers will be very low because the consequential like the just enormous importance of this election is going to get lost in the shuffle.
The vast majority of people do not live it like we live it.
No, I know. And so I'm asking you before we start this conversation, give us a call, give us a text, 844-967-2789. Do you already know who you're going to vote for? Are you really ahead of the game? Or if you don't yet, what information do you need to either get motivated or have a more informed choice? Shoot us a text, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court election when we come back. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, there would soon be nothing left of me.
Oh, I'd love to be.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always.